These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Where do you think people... I blanked. Go.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, hour 2, Felger and Maz here on Agenda Free Friday, brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges, they don't. PlanetFitness.com. We're here on 98.5 on the FM dial in Boston. We simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Let's go to Dave Dombrowski now at, I believe, Fenway Park, explaining the release today of Hanley Ramirez. Take it away, Dave Dombrowski.
It's a session, but if you have questions, just raise your hand. We'll go one by one. Start with John.
How can you tell us this move wasn't financial?
Well, it was a baseball-related move for us. We've been looking at making a move because we knew that this day with Dustin would come where he'd be coming back probably since February, since spring training. We talked about different possibilities, when somebody will be ready, when they won't be ready. We talked about all different type of possibilities. So for us, it really is a baseball move, one that I talked to Alex about yesterday, Alex Cora. We were prepared to maybe go in a different direction with our move. He called me. It was about 11:30 in the morning. I was getting ready to go for a run. And Alex says, I've got a thought for you about what we're doing. And he said, this is a move that I would like to make. I recommend making. Ultimately, it comes into my final decision. But he said, I really want to play Mitch Moreland more. He's a good player. He's played very well for us. I don't think that Hanley is a person that sits handling on the bench well. It gives us an opportunity to keep Blake Swihart and also be in a position where Blake could get some more playing time. And so he said, this is something that I'd recommend us doing. And I said, you're sure? And he said, yeah. And he went through some different reasons behind it from his thought process. And what I asked him to do at that point was to make sure that he went to the ballpark, because he gets there earlier than me, meet with his coaching staff, and be in a position where that's what he really wanted to do. And when I got to the ballpark yesterday, Frank Wren and I drove over, and he said, this is what we would like to do. So... we proceeded in that direction.
Sean, on the right. Dave, you, I think, acknowledge that it's somewhat unusual for a first-place team to essentially cut ties with the guy who had been its number three hitter for the first 2 months. What reservations, if any, did you have about this pretty dramatic move?
Well, it is. It is unusual. But, it's an unusual situation. Our club is quite deep. We really do like Mitch Moreland a lot. I mean, even to the point where, as Alex had mentioned, there were certain right-handers he was sitting him against in order to give Hanley more time. Hanley started off very well early in the season. It was tremendous. He has really scuffled over the last time period. I think everybody acknowledges that we're a better defensive club when Mitch is in there. And so we just didn't see the role that would be there as more of a support person, one that fits Hanley well. So it is unusual, but we also think we're pretty deep. We end up getting Pedroia back today. He's not playing today because of just giving him another day, but he's available to play. We have a couple guys that we really like, and Nunez and Holt still on our bench. It gives us some versatility. So it is unusual, but it's also one that we thought, for the way our club stacked up, was the one to make. Well, I'm sure that anytime you have a club together and you make a move with one of the players that have been with them, there's always thought processes, and players have feelings towards that individual. I think they also have feelings towards Mitch, and they have feelings towards Blake and Petey coming back. I think that that's one where I have a lot of trust in Alex, and Alex has a pulse of that situation. And he felt when it came down to it, it was a move that, in that sense, he was not concerned about. He thinks that our club is a closely meshed one, and with the personnel that we have and the leadership that we have, that we'll be able to handle that part of it.
Okay, let's cut in there. And if Dombrowski says anything worthwhile, we'll play it back for you. So we're still rolling him back there, but that's Dave Dombrowski on the release of Hanley Ramirez. Fascinating. Basically, do you believe that it was Cora's idea?
I bet you Cora went to Hanley first and said, listen, we got Pedroia coming back, and one of the issues might be us putting you on the bench. And hold on, I'd rather release you than stick you on the bench.
I had a different thought.
Go ahead, go.
I have a feeling that there was a real blow-up there.
Yep. Something happened.
He sucked. They still put him out there. Moreland should be playing. So they tell him, all right, now there's a logjam. Pedroia's coming back. You cool with sitting on the bench? And then it was World War III.
Something happened.
So you know what? That could be right. Yeah, that could be right. I wonder if Cora tried to pitch it as a positive in, I have too much respect for you to sit you on the bench.
So, I mean, that's a good one, Mass. I mean, that's, I immediately go to the other place.
Well, no, but
being who I am.
Well, but, no, there was a telling quote there. As much as you get nothing out of that used car salesman, even dresses like one, the line was, I don't think Hanley handles being on the bench very well. So that leads me to believe that something actually happened. The conversation happened. He lost his mind. They said, you know what? Screw it.
So how do I must have zoned. He said in there to Hanley?
I don't think.
He did. He said that. Yeah.
I don't think Hanley is someone who handles sitting on the bench well. That was the quote.
Boom. Yep. Boom. And that, you know, so this is, I'm telling you, they don't want him to vest that contract next year, period. And if they take those plate appearances away, it's trouble. And maybe the trouble started last night. Maybe the trouble started this week. But it's trouble with that guy. Bow wow. That dog. See you later. And if it came from Cora, good for him. If it came from Cora, great.
So again, but they're still hiding the truth, which is they just didn't want to pay him next season. That's really
okay.
The issue
so when he says baseball related move, what,
oh, what a load of crap that is! Please, we want to get more playing time for Mitch Moreland. Hold on, stop the presses. You know what? I think I'm going to sit Betts tonight. I got to get Mitch Moreland on the lineup. Like, how are we going to get Mitch Moreland more at bats? Like, there's the driving reason to release Hanley Ramirez, that we got to get Mitch Moreland more at bats. And Brock Holt's a valuable bench guy. Please stop. They didn't want him to vest that option for next year. And Cora knew that at some point they were going to have to pull the plug unless Hanley got hurt. Now, to me, I told you, I'd have ridden it out a little bit. Maybe Hanley pulls a hamstring. Maybe Hanley does something stupid. You could have released him in July. Who the hell knows? Plenty of options, other ways to do it. Of course, you then run the risk of him getting hot.
Right.
So they had an opening. And listen, I just, please don't tell me it's a baseball decision.
It's not a baseball decision. It has nothing to do with Dustin Pedroia. It has nothing to do with Brock Holt. It sure as hell does nothing to do with Moreland. It has to do with they didn't want Hanley on the team next year and that salary on the team next year. So how do you get out of it? And
so it's not even about his attitude.
I'm pissed I missed the line, but we'll replay it for you. As Dombrowski alluded to, Hanley's not the guy that you want to just have go in the other direction, because he'll infect you. He'll infect the team. He's that kind of guy. So how do you do it? Get him out of here. Now, I mean, maybe your scenario is pretty good too. Hanley, instead of us benching you, why don't we let you be a free agent? You're not going to vest that contract, but go see if you have a better situation and can set up your next contract next year, where you're going to get more plan. Whatever. I mean, maybe. Something tells me it's the other thing, though. I don't know.
No. Listen, I mean, you know, I'm hardly one to tell you that there couldn't have been a blowout there. There absolutely could have been a blowout there. Although Hanley tweeted something out that was very positive towards the city of Boston, right?
Yeah.
There was a, you know, farewell, love you, Boston, blah, blah, blah. I mean, there was nothing hostile there. Cora's smart. I wouldn't put it past him to take a preemptive measure there.
I love it.
Yeah, thank you, hashtag Red Sox Nation. It's been real, love you always, prayer emoji.
Okay, so, but as opposed to, like, the last couple of years in that clubhouse, you know, like, these sort of these festering, you know, bad attitudes or bad, you know, situations that just sort of fester and lead to a unlikable team or a team that's not fully functional. Why don't get out ahead of it, and let's not risk it with this guy. Because this guy is, as bad as it is with these others, this guy can be worse. And so let's not even mess around with this. And he's, plus, He had a bad year last year. He's trending to have another bad year this year. What are we really getting out of him? See you later.
So let me ask you this question. If Hanley could help you win a World Series, would it be worth paying him $22 million next year?
Next year? Well, yeah, I guess, but I have no faith that he's going to help you win a World Series. So that, like, and I never had faith in him even when he plays well. I think it's just a flash. And when he's acting well, I think he's just acting. Like, I have no faith or confidence in that player, even when it looks good with him. So, I don't think he's going to lead you to a World Series. I don't think he's going to help you win a World Series.
Okay, I didn't even say, I didn't say lead. I just said help. He hits good pitching. Okay, so that's all I'm telling you.
He has the ability to hit good pitching.
He has hit good pitching. 380 career postseason. 380. Not 318. 380. Like, just almost shy of 400.
I got
380.
It. I got it.
That's a damn good number in the postseason.
The Red Sox release Hanley Ramirez today. Your reaction on Agenda Free Friday right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5,
the Sports Hub. Every afternoon, Felger and Mass bring you the science of sports.
Stupid me.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I talked to Alex about yesterday, Alex Cora. We were prepared to maybe go in a different direction with our move. He called me. It was about 11:30 in the morning. I was getting ready to go for a run. And Alex says, I've got a thought for you about what we're doing. And he said, this is a move that I would like to make. I recommend making. Ultimately, it comes into my final decision. But he said, I really want to play Mitch Moreland more. He's a good player. He's played very well for us. I don't think that Hanley is a person that sits handling on the bench well. It gives us an opportunity to keep Blake Swihart and also be in a position where Blake could get some more playing time.
Again, Agenda Free Friday, brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges they don't. PlanetFitness.com. Dave Dombrowski moments ago explaining the release of Hanley Ramirez. Surprising move. Says it came from the manager. Says they were prepared to do something else, meaning Pedroia's coming back off the DL, so if something has to give, they have to peel someone off the roster. Dombrowski says, we were prepared to do something else, but Cora called me and said, how about this? And so, do we believe that? Do we believe that Cora was the impetus behind this?
Yeah, I do. Yep, I do. I believe it, because otherwise I don't think they throw that out there.
Okay, so then you do think it came from the baseball people, not purely about the money.
I think... Yeah, but I don't think that's it. The money's a factor. The money is the factor.
I bet the team was thrilled when they heard that, because I think the team is, looking for any excuse not to have Hanley vest that option next year.
See, there's a lot of other ways for them to have gotten around this without cutting Hanley.
Oh, I don't think there is any way.
Sure, there is. For example, if they wanted to give Moreland more at bats, which they're saying,
no, I'm not talking about that. If they don't want Hanley to vest next year, there's no other way around it.
No, that part is right.
I mean, hoping he gets hurt. What if, Hanley just doesn't extend himself all year, never runs hard or swings hard, so he doesn't get hurt, they can't shut him down, and then he vests? Like, that's what I would be afraid of. He makes sure he never pulls anything by never even going past 60% effort. So there was no way to get him out of vesting that option without releasing him.
Okay, so that part...
Other than benching him and then potentially infecting your team, and as Dombrowski just said there, as Cora told him, doesn't handle sitting on the bench very well.
I don't think that Hanley is a person that sits handling on the bench well.
He would definitely not.
No question. They're 100% right about that. What I'm getting agitated at is the baseball bullcrap.
It's bullcrap.
Okay, the baseball bullcrap. Okay. We want to get Moreland in the lineup more? Hold on. You can. Option Jackie Bradley to AAA. That was on the table. So you can release Hanley, but you can't send Jackie Bradley to AAA?
Okay, so baseball in terms of that thing. But what about if Alex Cora is sitting here saying, I don't want to deal with this guy. Dave, I don't want to deal with this guy. Cut him. Like, that's not pure baseball, but that's coming from a baseball person.
I think Cora had a hand in it. He had a hand in it. I also find it interesting that Dombrowski went out of his way to remind us that the final decision actually rests with him.
Yeah, Billy, can you just pick up the second half of that cut where Dombrowski does circle back to that?
And so he said, this is something that I'd recommend us doing. And I said, you're sure? And he said, yeah. And he went through some different reasons behind it from his thought process. And what I asked him to do at that point was to make sure that he went to the ballpark, because he gets there earlier than me, meet with his coaching staff and be in a position where that's what he really wanted to do. And when I got to the ballpark yesterday, Frank Wren and I drove over and he said, this is what we would like to do. So we proceeded in that direction.
And he actually even said at one point.
I'm sorry, I thought that was in that.
Yeah, no, no worries. He actually even said at one point, you know, the final decision rests with me, which I took as, you know, this. Let's not forget, people, I'm in charge. So look, I don't doubt, you know, and there's a story out there about this already. Cora was on the team in 08 when they went through it with Manny. Now, I think Manny and Hanley are similar, but it's not perfect. Manny was a worse guy. Hanley's not nearly the, you know, I say bad guy.
Yet.
Yeah, but they...
Yet.
So, Hanley's a dog.
When Hanley got here, was there a guy with a worse reputation in baseball than him? He's up there.
Okay, but I'm only comparing him to Manny now. And I'm just telling you, Manny, at one point, someone in the organization told me Manny's a turd. Okay? Manny is a turd. Someone actually said that to me about Manny Ramirez. With Hanley, I've heard people say, he just doesn't give a damn. He just floats around, man, whatever, life's great, no problem. It's like, you know, so I don't think he's quite the negative that Manny could be, but isn't it like Manny either.
Okay, so let's rifle through some of your reaction here. It's Sean in Marble. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, guys. I wanted to call you guys to follow up on a call a couple of years ago.
You just got
to
be quick, Sean. Go.
I had said that I like the Hanley signing more than I like the Pablo signing. Looking back, would you guys disagreed with me? Would you say I was right?
Yes. So Pablo was an F, and Hanley was a C-. Congratulations. You nailed it.
I just wanted to rub that in a little. Thanks, guys.
Okay, there you go. I would not be taking victory laps on that Hanley Ramirez signing.
No, what we can say is it wasn't a disaster.
Borderline. He sucked in 3 of the 4 years. They won one playoff game with him. And I'm not blaming him. I'm just saying, what did he bring you? You survived, you know, at best you survived the Hanley experience where he didn't drag you down and you didn't get the full Hanley like the Marlins had to deal with and some of these other teams had to deal with.
It wasn't a disaster. Carl Crawford was a disaster. This was not a disaster.
Mark in Framingham, go. Mark in Framingham, go. Okay, folks, we're banged out here with phones. If you want to go, you got to be ready. Mike and Needham, go, Mike.
All right, happy Friday, boys. Look, if this is true, it came from Cora. If it's true, oh, I friggin' love that. I got a raging Cora in my hand if that's true. But look, I'm talking up to Maz here. Maz, I love you. I'm going to rib you a little bit, though. I remember a point in time when you didn't want to release a certain pitcher by the name of Clay Buchholz. And look, I know they're apples and oranges, Buchholz and Ramirez. Ramirez has the postseason numbers. But maybe you think you're overestimating what he could do,
Mike,
again.
They're not apples and oranges because ultimately the more guys you have like Clay Buchholz and Hanley Ramirez and David Price, who's still here, but the more guys you have like that, the more it sucks the life out of your team. And I know you've won championships with Clay Buchholz, so I don't mean to make that an absolute, but just, you know, guys without that you just can't bank on competitively. Then you become uncompetitive. You become an uncompetitive team. And what has this team been the last couple of years?
Okay, but again, not his fault. Not Hanley's fault.
And if you look at the numbers, you can make the case that he is competitive against the Yankees throughout his career. 273 average, 15 home runs, 40 RBI against them.
So I'd be willing to bet that with the Red Sox, that his numbers against the Yankees are even better than that. But that is, I just think Hanley's one of these guys that, you know, he doesn't give a rat's ass 85% of the time. But you get him into the playoffs, and there's a stage there, and he performs.
Yeah, I guess he does. So I have no argument against that. I hate those guys that just tried 15% of the time.
Sure, like, and you should.
And I think they're a drag on your team. And again, I'm with the caller. If Cora got in the middle of it, said I'm not dealing with this year. God bless him. God bless him. Joe in Dorchester, your thoughts?
How you doing, guys? I don't believe Dombrowski, but you know I agree with the move because he wasn't doing it. But I think they should try to trade him to the National League and see if somebody can take him because the last thing
No one's going
to
take him. Your phone sucks. No one's going to take him. No one wants to deal with that vesting option any more than you do.
No shot. No one's trading for him. Okay? He's going to be a free agent in 7 days.
And oh, by the way, I mean, I would like to think they've tried at this point. Have they put him on those revocable waivers? I bet they have, where every team has a chance at him and they don't take him. The caller started out by saying on his crappy phone, I don't believe Dombrowski. I'll say this. If the Red Sox, if this is purely financial, and the Red Sox want to sell it as a baseball move because they don't want to be labeled as cheap, it's a pretty convenient thing for them to do to say, yeah, the manager called us and told us to do this, to put it on Cora, because then it's not coming from upstairs, it's not coming from the owner, it's coming from the baseball people.
So it's smart.
I mean, I also think it's true, but if they were to lie to cover up why they're doing it, that's a good cover.
So the bottom line to me is this is 100% a money decision. Now, was Cora the one who concocted the plan? Like, is Cora the one who said, hey, look, what if we get rid of Hanley? You guys look good. You can pin it on me because I went and talked to him. Hanley's good with it. All he wants is his money. We eliminate the problem and you guys get to hide.
No one wanted him. How about that? No one wanted him.
So I just, what I told you, what my philosophical oppositions are. You have a team that's trying to make a run and he's your best postseason hitter. Fact. Okay, fact. Hanley hits when the lights are on. He does. Fine. Don't tell me this is about Mitch Moreland because it's not. It's about getting out from Hanley's $22 million next year. And I don't even believe that, you know, they can conveniently say that he would have been disruptive, which I happen to believe. But really, they didn't want to pay him the $22 million. It's that simple.
They were all thrilled. They were thrilled when Cora said that. Oh, we can dump him? Heartbeat. Ha! They didn't even... They got the call at 11. The news leaked at noon. Like... I mean, that's how I think. I don't think the bean counters wanted him. The money people didn't want him. And I believe Cora didn't want him. I believe all of it. And so a happy confluence. We can all be rid of this potential poison on our team. And I know I'm being a little strong on Hanley, but I mean, what can I tell you? I've never liked the guy. Never liked him as a player. Even when he hit well, I didn't trust it. Even when he acted well, I thought it was an act. And so, I mean, and not my kind of guy. Not my kind of athlete. So they released him. I'm going to be upset about it. No shot. I think it was a good move. Pete in Delaware on LeBron. Go ahead, Pete.
Guys, you were so right yesterday about him being tired. He's manipulated the media. He's changed the narrative of the series. In the beginning, it was about the underdog Celtics. Now, if LeBron loses, it's going to be all about LeBron having to carry trash on his team. And were they trash when they swept Toronto? No, but they're trash now because of his antics in Game 5. I just want to beat LeBron straight up without any excuses, and it doesn't look like it's going to be that way.
Okay, so, right, no, there's two setups there from LeBron. Setting up his heroics in Game 6 to win one for the land.
Absolutely.
And also, well, he is carrying quite a burden and a load on his shoulders, so if and when he fails in Game 7, it's, well, what do you expect? I'm carrying these bums for
exactly.
7 games.
Exactly, yeah, look at these bums on the road. How do you expect me to win with that? You know that's, I'm telling you, he's smart, man, he is. He's smart. He has orchestrated and choreographed the whole thing. So now he gets to have his grand farewell to Cleveland, and then you know what happens? They all blame the owner, who's a nitwit, right? Dan Gilbert, they will blame him. LeBron will come here and probably play well in Game 7, but defer just enough so that George Hill and Rodney Hood and the rest of them crap their pants on the parquet, and the Celtics go on to the finals, and LeBron goes on to wherever he goes on to.
Agenda Free Friday continues. We got the Hanley news, which is pretty big, that Houston Golden State series, which is quite a development on so many levels. The Celtics tonight, and we'll get into some other things from the week as well, because after all, it is agenda free. Right to you after Murray's update.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bill, Tom's not here today. Have you guys spoken at length about...
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about the people that aren't here. The guys that are here are improving. They're working hard, and those are the guys we're going to focus on.
I've been in communication with Tom. I think he's very excited about the upcoming season. These are voluntary workouts, and I think he's in great shape. You know, I think he's at an age where he's blessed to have three children now, and he's built a number of businesses and has certain responsibilities. And I think it's very hard for him to fulfill those during the season and the commitment he has to football. I know that he's very excited about being at minicamp and having a very special season this year.
All right, Agenda Free Friday, everything from the week we've gotten to or have yet to get to. We're mostly Hanley and hoops today, but that was a big part of the week. I'm still floored by the week. I was completely wrong about what was going to transpire this week, so maybe this floored me more than most. It floored me more than you, Maz. I mean, I guess you've expected this stuff, but I'm just stunned. I'm stunned that there are real practices of passing camp, important stuff for this team, that's going on, and Brady just willfully skipped it. And then the owner came out and basically enabled him to do it, endorsed him, saying these are voluntary. But it's just, that blows me away that the Pats have reached this point, or this thing, this palace queue has reached this point, that the coach asks players to show up, the most important player doesn't show up, and the owner says, that's okay, they're only voluntary. You've got business interests. Like, that to me blows me away. I'm sorry. That blows me away that that happened. It blows me away that Brady wasn't there. It blows me away that Brady never showed up. It blows me away that Brady probably spent some time at his own institute in Foxborough. He was in town, like town, and he didn't practice with his teammates. It blows me away that a rookie quarterback wearing number 58 had to take real reps for you in a camp where you're installing offense and it's important to the team. That blows me away. And then it blows me away that the owner came out and said, it's okay, these camps are only voluntary, and he's got business interests as well. Like, oy vey, the Patriots week blew me away. It did. I'm sorry.
See, there was a time when Brady was different than every other quarterback because he was smarter, worked harder, paid more attention to detail, won more, all the above, all of which was related. 31 other guys were with their teams this week. 31, and he wasn't. Like, when you put it in those terms, boy, that's a bad look. That's a bad look. And there's nothing, I always hate that stuff. Like, you know, time to report to spring training. Oh, everybody's here except Manny. Time to report to camp. Oh, everyone's here except this guy. Like, I hate that. I hate it. Like, there's a separate set of rules for you because you're the cat's ass. Like, when it's time for everyone to show up and work, but you don't have to show, I hate that.
So So that's the Patriots week. Gronkowski's swimming with sharks, and Brady's at a car race with a prince in Monaco.
Well, actually, yeah, he was meeting with the Aston Martin people, apparently. Back on Instagram yesterday at the Aston Martin plant. Talking to some of the fellas there, they were asking him to get behind the wheel of the Monaco GP and posted a few more photos, including a cute one of him jumping back and forth in front of a car. So that's what he's doing.
Well, that's cute.
That's good.
Yeah, he's doing things for Tag Heuer, too, out there, right? It's good. Heuer and who's the car? Aston Martin.
So what is it? Is it business or is it family? Because he said it was more about family time.
He's full of crap about the family. Please. That's such garbage, and we all know it. It's easy to... You're just playing your family time around the work. We all do that. It's not... He's so full of crap, it's not funny.
Okay, so again, agenda free. There's a little check-in on the Patriots stuff that we did this week. Back to the phones. Joe and Peabody on the Celts. Go ahead, Joe.
Mike, you hear me?
Yeah, I do.
I apologize. So, they need to close it out tonight. Because the other night, I didn't realize until Maz said it, it really was who sucks the least contest. Until, like, Marcus Smart hit that huge three late in the third, I was like, wow, the game turned. If they go in there laying bricks, it's over. And like you said, don't mess around with LeBron, close it tonight. And real quick, Murray Ovechkin, he's over a 600-goal scorer. He deserves to win.
Let him win one.
Let's go, Vegas. Let's go, Vegas.
Okay, Joe, sorry to cut you off there.
I need these most golden of nights.
Good story if Ovechkin breaks through.
Oh, unbelievable. So, look, Murray, listen, 4 years ago, I'm with you, dude. Ovechkin's one of the great dogs in the league. Put the puck in the net, score on the power play, don't play any D. You don't deserve to win. You suck, as far as I'm concerned.
He's evolved. But
he's playing different.
No, he looks great. It's just funnier 5 or 6 years now when he has to retire, walk away from the game. We all have to sit here and say, boy, it's a shame he never won one, huh? Uh-huh.
So this is just about you and your dark nature.
Oh, yeah. No, there's loser franchises in sports that must remain loser franchises. The Washington Capitals are one of those. It's just a shame that Alex Ovechkin, who's a great talent and fun to watch, happens to play for that team.
Actually, that's
true.
No, it's actually better that way.
Oh, right. It's funnier.
That they've had an all-time great talent and still haven't broken through. Yep. It actually adds to your schadenfreude.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so it'd be even funnier if they lose to an expansion team in their first year.
The first thing, the first point you made about the Celtics winning tonight, I mean, you still got to like your chances in Game 7 at home, although I'd like to think that some of this crap we've seen in this series from the road teams dissipates in a Game 7 where don't tell me that anyone on Cleveland is going to shut it down in a Game 7. Just don't tell me that's going to happen. So... playing with fire. And I do wonder if LeBron looks across at the West and says, wait a minute, it's not Golden State, it's Houston, and it might be Houston without Chris Paul. Oh, wait a minute, maybe this isn't a lost cause, and I'm actually going to not be fatigued tonight. So if I'm the Celts, I don't want to play with any of that fire. I'm with you.
See, I just it might not be up to them. Because I think LeBron's will is the strongest force in this series. If LeBron wants to play in Cleveland, I think those other guys will have confidence. But if there's a Game 7 here, I don't think you have to worry about people like J.R. Smith. He will literally melt in the garden that day. That guy will turn into a puddle.
Nate in New Bedford, what's your take on the Hanley Ramirez situation?
Yeah, I just wanted to say it was a lot of what I expected from Dombrowski before he started talking. Obviously, he wasn't going to mention it. It's about the money. As you guys are saying, the Sox are just looking for a good time to cut ties because Moreland's hitting 310 and Hanley's playing like crap this month like he normally does. But when he blamed it specifically, well, not blamed it, but he said Cora called him before he went for a morning jog. Like, okay, nobody cares you're going for a jog. But he said Cora called him and it was his decision. And he says, oh, you sure? Make sure you, like, talk to the guys on the team, on the coaching staff, and make sure they're okay with it. So now we like to speak in hypotheticals. Let's say Hanley signs with the Yankees or the Astros or something in October, and he's blasting one into the seats off of David Price. Dombrowski can say, hey, you know, it wasn't really my decision to get rid of this guy. You know, Cora thought about this first. So it seems like a Weasley move from Dombrowski.
Well, hold on. It's a Weasley move only if it didn't happen. If Cora legitimately called and legitimately said, Dave, this is the guy you should move and here's why I strongly recommend it, then he's just telling the truth. And it is on Cora. It's only Weasley if they're doing it purely for money and they're blaming the manager because they don't want it to look like a money move. So if it's legit, then it's not Weasley. It's just the truth. Where he lands is now interesting. Who's second to last in the American League in OPS from the DH spot, Maz?
Houston.
And I asked you before, who's the Yankees DH? Because don't Stanton and Judge play in the corner outfield positions?
They do, so there's a little bit of a rotating thing there. When Aaron Hicks plays, Gardner's in left, you know, Judge plays right, Stanton DHs.
Could they use a full-time DH?
I would say yes.
Who's their full-time first baseman?
So now Greg Bird's coming back. I think he's coming back this weekend. So again, you know, he's on the verge anyway. So, like, you know, Bird enters the equation. I don't know what, you know, bodies they have to shave out of there.
Where's Cleveland? What's Cleveland's situation?
Cleveland has, what's his name? Oh, God. I can't remember.
Not Santana.
No. Encarnacion's a DH because, what's his name's playing for us? I'm drawing a blank. I'll get it in a minute.
They have one.
Yes. Encarnacion DH is usually.
All we're setting up is saying, if one of those contenders in the American League, there's only five of them, and we all know who's going to be in the playoffs, like it's almost all set, you know, there's like five or six teams, and that's it. If he lands on one of those five or six teams?
So the one that makes the most sense on paper is Houston. I mean, again, they're near the bottom of the league in productivity from the DH. They're second to last. The only team that's worst is Baltimore. Baltimore, the last thing they need is another slow guy who's mentally checked out. Like, so they're not going to go for Hanley. Forget Hanley in Baltimore. It's not going to work. But Houston's there. Seattle could use a DH, but that's not as interesting to us for obvious reasons. And, you know, the Yankees are always hovering. Cleveland, like, look, here's what I would tell you. If I'm an American League team and I think there's a bat out there that could help me in October, I would look into Hanley. Because I think Hanley can still hit. So 2 years ago, when he had the big year in 2016, he hit 229 in June. They didn't cut his ass then because he still had two more years where they thought, well, maybe we'll get a return on the investment here. This is 100% about that option.
Okay, but so then you don't think that Cora was telling the truth or they were telling the truth about Cora today?
No, so I think Cora took a preemptive measure. If I had to guess, I'd be willing to bet Cora went to Hanley and said, hey, look, let me ask you something here. You know, we got a roster decision coming up, and there's a lot of things in play. Rather than me putting you in some sort of rotation where you're going to, you know, miss every third day, what if we just release you and you can go play somewhere else?
Right. Or,
I bet you Hanley would say yes to that.
Or, Cora went to Hanley and said, you're not going to be every third day because Pedroia's coming back, and so you're going to be cut back here on your playing time. And Hanley Ramirez took a dump on the clubhouse floor. And Cora called Dombrowski the next morning and said, I've been through this before. I was here with Manny when he was taking dumps on floors. And so I'm not doing this again. This is the guy you should cut.
So the guy that hides in all of this is John Henry.
Well, right? He should. This is why you hire underlings to blame them.
No question. And I'm not blaming Henry. I'm just saying that, to me, this is a business decision, and it's not a baseball decision.
Back with more on an Agenda Free Friday after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jimmy has demoted him. He's no longer Coach Stevens. Jimmy's mad at Brad. So you think this one was on Stevens, Jimmy?
Yep, it's all on Brad. I hope Brad watched the film. We're calling him Brad today because he got out-coached. And also, Brad had no answer for George Hill. George friggin' Hill. Brad had no answers for.
No, Coach Stevens.
Someone doesn't want to go to game 5.
Or doesn't mind sitting in the 300s.
Just Brad, when it's not okay. And your coach like doo-doo, just Brad. LeBron had his way. And your coach like boo-doo, just Brad. When it's not okay. And you pissed off Chase too, just Brad.
Brad. Brad. Brad. Brad.
Just Brad.
It's Brad. Do better tonight, Brad.
I'm still waiting for a Stevens moment. I'm not giving him credit for the little personnel switches. Just as I'm not giving Tyronn Lue any credit for his, you know, Tristan Thompson. The home teams have won, right? The coaching has not been a factor yet in this series. It just hasn't. Lue's a boob. Your guy makes a difference. That's all true, but I'm sorry. Murray could be coaching the Cavs, and Maz could be coaching the Celtics, and it's still 3-2 Boston going into Cleveland tonight, right?
Pretty much.
Okay, yeah. So, like...
That's true. I would have an edge over Murray.
Just all that experience.
All it means is that I'm still waiting for a close game where I can really see Brad Stevens and his impact. Like, again, I can't tell you how disappointed I was in the Warriors last night and how they played down the stretch. It just blew me away. I thought they were one of the teams that just sort of got it. Got it against the clock, understood situations like the Patriots would, etc., etc. Like, that, their very last possession... There's a missed free throw, and they passed the ball instead of immediately calling timeout, so they had to start in the backcourt versus the front court. It's a very small but fundamental thing. And was it Draymond Green who got the rebound? Whoever got it was sort of falling out of bounds. So I think that player panicked a little bit and tried to get it in, and did. But they could have called a timeout leaning out of bounds. They'll still give you the timeout. And when you do that, you get it in the front court versus the back court, and that led to the whole fumble by Draymond Green in the first place. A fundamental thing. Grab the rebound, call timeout. And they didn't do it. That was unbelievable. And then, the coup de grace. Coup de grace? Coup de grace?
Coup de grace.
The coup de grace was the play that Chris Paul got hurt on, man.
It's a coup de grace.
The coup de grace, Matt, back there. What is it?
Coup de grace.
The coup de grace was... The play Paul got hurt on. Chris Paul goes down and stays down, and the refs don't blow the whistle. 50 seconds left. Warriors down 1 point, and they literally have a 5-on-4 power play. Which, you don't see, but Paul could not get down to the other end of the floor. The refs weren't blowing the whistle. The Warriors only needed a two-pointer. They didn't need a three. They're only down 1 point, and they kick it out to someone I'd never seen or heard of.
Quinn Cook.
Quinn Cook, that's a guy's name.
They pass out to something named Quinn Cook with the hair. When you have Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, you've got all these Hall of Famers and champions spread across the floor, and you don't need three. They kick it out to the three-point line for something named Quinn Cook.
Steph Curry, arguably the best shooter of all time.
Who then immediately shoots it. It had to have been like 15 seconds left on the shot clock. They didn't take any time.
Quinn Cook for three.
Oh, my God. I couldn't believe it. I said, what happened to this Warriors team? I thought they got it. Oh, man, so disappointing.
So I'll tell you, again, with the Warriors, like, I don't know, maybe we've overrated them at the end of these games. They win by 15 every night they play,
right?
At a minimum. And so when you look at them in the postseason, they did blow a 3-1 lead to the Cavs. Last year they won, but it was a runaway, and they never really had to sort of make that play, although Durant made some big shots at the end of games, I guess. But then you go back the year they won without Durant, Kyrie got hurt. I mean, like, I don't know. Maybe Golden State's not quite as invulnerable as we think.
Well, there's no way, I don't think, that Houston can beat him without Chris Paul, because when you talk about losers, James Harden is near the top of the list.
Okay, so I was on the Harden train a long time ago. Long time ago. That guy is a bum. That guy's a loser. Losing player.
So Chris Paul was balls last night. Harden was an absolute puddle. He's missed 20 straight three-pointers, going back to the previous game. 20. How do you do that?
And they're bad. Like, he's got open looks, and it's just clang. Like, they are, oh, boy. I mean, it is brutal. He really was, he kept trying to shoot the Warriors back into that game.
I know I could make one out of 20. I know I could.
Sam in Fall River with a thought on the coaching. Go, Sam.
Hey, you guys are pretty hard on Tyronn Lue. Did you guys hear about the new matchup nightmare, not named Aron Baynes, crowned by Tyronn Lue?
No.
Olajay?
Okay. Tyronn Lue says that the Celtics threw us for a loop by not playing Semi Ojeleye. Lue says he did not play Kyle Korver.
No. Sam, we did this whole story yesterday, like all day. So what's your point?
Oh no. I was just going to say if your plan falls apart at Semi Ojeleye, I think it wasn't a good plan.
No, Sam. Your point is Tyronn Lue. What an idiot.
Yeah.
Okay. God bless.
So I thought Sam did a half decent job of taking that one out of the dumpster.
Yeah, no,
I mean, he was a day late, but yeah, it's not much of a plan if it gets thrown into a state of disarray by Semi Ojeleye.
Show me the coaching advantage over this guy. Like, get it into a close game where Brad Stevens matters, please. That's another thing that I want to see. I don't want these blowouts by the home team where the coach. You've got an advantage, a big one. So let me see it. Let's have it make a difference.
It's amazing that you could play five games in a conference final and not have a single big play at the end of any game. I mean, it's unbelievable. There hasn't been a single moment at the end of these games where you went, oh, like for one way or the other. Not one. Isn't that unbelievable?
Okay, we got the Celtics tonight here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. That Western Conference thing was, really... feels like it potentially could change the landscape here. And the Red Sox with a stunning move today. Details here on that stunner from Murray in our update. No commercials, and we're back to react.